and welcome to this week's episode of BuzzHub's Box Office Buzz podcast for the weekend of July 5th, 2013. I'm your host, Lucien, and on today's show I'm going to be taking a look at the 4th of July box office numbers for the films, the big films of the week, Despicable Me 2 and The Lone Ranger. Now, Despicable Me 2 is the animated sequel from Universal and Illumination Entertainment, and it's been hugely successful this weekend. It's taken in $142 million in North America since its release on Wednesday, the 3rd of July, playing in 3,997 theaters. It opened on Wednesday with $34.3 million, dipped a bit on the 4th of July, then spiked back up on to $30.5 million on Friday. Universal has estimated its three-day weekend at $82.5 million, making it the third biggest Independence Day opening after Transformers Dark of the Moon, which took $97.8 million, and Spider-Man 2, which took $88.1 million. As far as its other box office benchmarks, Despicable Me 2 made more in its first 5 days than both Toy Story 3 and Shrek the Third, setting it up as one of the most successful animated movies in the history of cinema, as well as one of Universal's biggest hits in their 75-year history. The movie had already opened internationally over the past few weeks. I reviewed it on a previous episode of the podcast. And this weekend, it was the number one movie in 42 of its 46 markets worldwide, including North America. This weekend, it added another $88.8 million internationally to bring its total overseas gross to $151 million and its total worldwide gross to $293.2 million. Things weren't as good for Johnny Depp and Armie Hammer in The Lone Ranger, which is from Walt Disney Pictures. Reuniting Johnny Depp with director Gore Verbinski and producer Jerry Bruckheimer from the hugely successful Pirates of the Caribbean films. Their attempt to revive the Western hero in the same fashion as they did Pirates with Captain Jack Sparrow failed to find much of an audience. It opened on Wednesday with less than $10 million and held steady throughout 4th of July Thursday, but things didn't pick up much for the weekend, and the film's three-day weekend estimate of $29.4 million is on par with last summer's bomb, Dark Shadows, starring Depp and directed by his longtime collaborator Tim Burton. The Lone Ranger ended up grossing just under $50 million in its first 5 days, which is $20 million less than Pirates of the Caribbean: The Curse of the Black Pearl made in its first 5 days 10 years ago. The Lone Ranger also opened internationally in 23 other territories, including Russia, Australia, Italy, and Korea. It is not yet opened here in the United Kingdom and Ireland, where I am, and I have not seen it yet, but I will be seeing it soon and reviewing it on a future episode. In these international territories, it grossed an estimated $24.3 million to bring its global total to $73.2 million. So far, it's only playing in 30% of the international market, so we'll have to see whether Depp's popularity in other countries will help the movie that reportedly was budgeted at $200 million and was a major risk for Disney to release as such a big summer tentpole film. Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy's very successful, surprisingly successful action comedy, The Heat, from 20th Century Fox, continued to do very well, and it took third place with $25 million, a negligible 36% drop from its opening weekend. In just 10 days, the police comedy has already brought in $86.4 million domestically, which means it should cross the $100 million mark sometime this week, making it McCarthy's second movie of the year to do so, after Identity Thief. Now, once again, The Heat is not opening here in Ireland for several weeks, and I have not yet seen it, but I am very much looking forward to, and I will be discussing it in the future. I have seen Despicable Me 2, however, and as I said, I reviewed it on a previous episode. I was not a fan of Despicable Me 2. I thought it was a very disappointing follow-up to a brilliant first film, and I thought the Minions, whom I'm not a fan of, took far too big a role in the film, and Gru was sidelined, as were the other interesting characters in the first film. You can hear my review of it on the episode, the World War Z Monsters University episode of the podcast. And now, with the introduction of Despicable Me 2 into the family market, Disney Pixar's animated prequel Monsters University took a plunge down to fourth place for the weekend, adding another $19.5 million to take its domestic gross over $200 million, the sixth movie of 2013 to reach that benchmark. I know off the top of my head, I would guess those other five movies would be Iron Man 3, Fast and Furious 6, Man of Steel, Oz the Great and Powerful, and Star Trek Into Darkness. And, yes, Man of Steel is number two, Star Trek Into Darkness, or Fast and Furious 6 is the third highest grossing film of the year in the United States. Iron Man 3 is number one with $406,433,000. Brad Pitt's World War Z, which I will review for you in a few moments, came in fifth place with $18.2 million, down just 39% from last weekend, bringing its own total to $158.8 million in the same amount of time as Monsters University. Now, I will give you a little review of World War Z now. I liked World War Z. I liked it quite a bit. I gave it 4 stars in my review. I was impressed by it. I thought it was very well put together. As I said in my review, I said I knew I was going to like it from the opening credit sequence. A great opening credit sequence. It featured the names Matthew Fox, Damon Lindelof, Muse. They're all people I like, and they were all collaborated the film. The opening scene of the film, the opening kind of action scene in Philadelphia, is really incredible, and the scene in Israel, in the middle of the film, is really incredibly done. It's really thrilling. It's frightening, and the plane crash sequence that precedes it is one of the best action scenes I've seen all year, and I think actually is better than anything that I saw in Man of Steel, because of how well and subtly it's done, whereas Man of Steel everything was very loud and in your face, and I wasn't a big fan of that. So that's World War Z, which I did quite like. I gave it 4 stars in my review. You can read my review online. Also this week, I saw quite a bit this week. I saw The Internship. I'm not sure how The Internship is doing in the box office this week. I'd say it's dropped well out of the top 10 right now. I saw The Internship, and I was not a fan of The Internship. I did not find it funny. I did not enjoy the characters. I thought it was just a bad product placement for Google, turned into a film. The film about these two guys who are kind of old and out of touch with current stuff, trying to fit in with young people, and it's a film which is really old-fashioned and out of touch and trying to fit in with cooler comedies like This Is the End, which I also saw, and which I'll talk about in a moment. So yes, I thought The Internship was very disappointing, and it was poor for both Vince Vaughn and Owen Wilson. It was one of their worst films in years. I gave that 2 stars in my review. It wasn't desperate. It had a few small good points, but overall it wasn't great. So I gave that 2 stars. So now I'm going to talk about the two other films I saw this week, which are This Is the End and White House Down. First, I'll talk about This Is the End. And this is, of course, the big ensemble comedy directed by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg. It's their directorial debut, although they've written many films before together. And it stars Rogen along with James Franco, Jonah Hill, Danny McBride, Craig Robinson, Jay Baruchel, all playing themselves, or exaggeratedly comic versions of themselves, who are all trapped in James Franco's massive house during the apocalypse, and basically all hell breaks loose, and a lot of people have been calling it one of the funniest films of the last few years, over the last few weeks since it came out, and I didn't think it was that great. It certainly wasn't the 5-star comedy of the summer that Ted was last year, for example, but I thought it was very funny, and I laughed constantly throughout the first 3 quarters, and towards the end I won't spoil it, but there are some action scenes which are just extraordinary to watch, and considering how small the film's budget was, they're very impressively done. And the ending is pretty funny too, so it's a good film. I gave it 4 stars in my review, and you can read my reviews of that and White House Down on buzzhub.wordpress.com. So White House Down is this new Roland Emmerich thriller. He made Independence Day and the 2012, The Day After Tomorrow. I'm a big fan of his. I think his films always manage to get the perfect combination of big action spectacle and kind of small family drama. And I think he balances the emotions and the action very well. And I'm a big fan of his films.
and White House Down, I was very impressed with. I liked it just as much as 2012 and The Day After Tomorrow. Maybe not as much as The Day After Tomorrow, but it was excellent. I liked it very much. I thought it was patriotic, and it was a good 4th of July film, but not in a kind of a sense where it was like the USA is the best country in the world because we kill all the other people, which is in a lot of military films these days. It was more a sense of the USA is the best country in the world because it's a place largely of peace and love. And I think that was enunciated towards the end of the film when the lead character, played by Channing Tatum, his daughter, who is just fantastic. She's played by 11-year-old Joey King, who you may have seen in Oz the Great and Powerful in March. She's just fantastic, and at the end she really is the hero of the film. And I liked where the film's politics lay. And I thought the chemistry between the two male leads, Jamie Foxx and Channing Tatum, were absolutely fantastic. They were really funny together, had some great conversations, good action pairing. I'd love to see them in another film together. Those two actors are great. And I just thought the whole thing was really well put together. I was a big fan of it. I gave it 5 stars. It's only one of 2 films so far this year I've given 5 stars. That and Star Trek Into Darkness. I really liked it, and I think it's a must-see for the 4th of July weekend. I suppose that's over now, but it was quite unsuccessful at the box office last week. It came in 4th place, disappointingly, and I'm surprised. I thought it deserved to do much better because it is a very excellent film.
And speaking of White House Down, it dropped to 6th place this weekend with $13.5 million, with a total gross of $50.5 million. Helped on the 4th of July by a promotion that allowed active duty military men and vets to see the movie for free. Man of Steel took 7th place with $11.4 million, still the second highest grossing movie of the year in the US with $271.2 million, but will probably end up 3rd behind Despicable Me 2 in a few weeks. Comedy concert films are few and far behind, which may be why Kevin Hart, Let Me Explain, opened so well on Wednesday with $4.8 million in just 876 theaters. It added another $2.6 million on the 4th of July and then took an estimated $10.1 million over the 3-day weekend to take 8th place, having amassed $17.5 million in its first 5 days. Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg Exist at the End, which I just reviewed, took 9th place with $5.8 million, another great haul from the previous weekend, as it slowly makes its way to $100 million with $85.8 million gross so far. Opening a limited release in 19 theaters on Friday was the directorial debut by Nat Faxon and Jim Rash, the Oscar-winning co-screenwriters of Alexander Payne's The Descendants, this film, The Way, Way Back. Starring Steve Carell, Toni Collette, Allison Janney, Sam Rockwell, and newcomer Liam James, the Sundance comedy earned $575,000 over the 3-day weekend, an averaging of roughly $30,000 per theater. That's all for this week's episode of BuzzHub's Box Office Buzz. I'll be back next weekend, and next weekend is a very, very big week at the box office because there are 2 massive summer blockbusters, both of which I'm very much looking forward to seeing. There is Guillermo del Toro's Pacific Rim, which today the first reviews are being released of, today on Monday, and The Telegraph's Robbie Collin has given the film 5 stars. Total Film has given it 4, The Guardian has given it 3. So it's pretty, having a pretty diverse reaction, but not a poor reaction, and it's certainly getting better reviews than one might expect from what is quintessentially a film of robots and monsters hitting each other. Now, of course, it is directed by Guillermo del Toro, who has a excellent track record with films. He's made some amazing films. The Hellboy films are excellent, and of course Pan's Labyrinth is superb as well. And it's by him, and it's going to be going to be successful in the US. It's being predicted it'll actually be quite a big flop because it's being promoted quite poorly. And as I noted on the Friday update show I did on Friday, you can read a piece I wrote on buzzhub.wordpress.com where I wrote about how I think that Pacific Rim should be marketed. I think it should be marketed and aimed at 8-year-old girls rather than teenage boys. And you can read why I think that at buzzhub.wordpress.com. Also opening in the United States this week. So Pacific Rim is opening in the US and the UK this weekend. Opening in the US is Adam Sandler, Chris Rock, David Spade, Kevin James, their sequel, Grown Ups 2. Now, I am one of the few people in the world who is actually a fan of the first Grown Ups. I think Adam Sandler really can do no wrong. I'm a huge fan of his, and I think Grown Ups is a very funny film. So I'm looking forward to seeing Grown Ups 2 more than most other people, and it also has Taylor Lautner in it, and I like him in the Twilight films, so I'm quite looking forward to seeing that. And Grown Ups 2 is not opening in the UK, unfortunately, but opening in the UK this weekend is, finally, Pixar's Monsters University, which is going to be very successful. I'm not sure which will come out number one in the UK, Pacific Rim or Monsters University. That'll be extremely interesting to see. So you'll have to come back next week while we will discuss that here on the podcast, because it's going to be very exciting to find out about. So, that is all for this week. It's a very long episode. It's the longest episode ever by quite a wide margin. I'd say it's twice the length of our previous longest episode, because we had a lot to talk about today. So next week I'll be back and I'll talk about Pacific Rim, Grown Ups 2, Monsters University, and I may also review some films I see in the meantime. I may see The Lone Ranger, and I may see The Heat also. I will see The Heat, actually. I'll be reviewing The Heat next week. So thanks for downloading this episode. I'll be back next week, and visit buzzhub.wordpress.com throughout the week for all the latest movie reviews and news. And we may have an exclusive interview with Star Trek Into Darkness star Zachary Quinto up over the weekend. I'll be meeting him on Friday, and I may be able to get an exclusive interview with him for the website, so that'll be very exciting. He plays Spock in J.J. Abrams' Star Trek films, so we'll look out for that. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.